Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and recently in our Help Wanted series for people looking for work, we talked about how the two biggest growth fields in the New York area are expected to be health and education, even as finance and manufacturing and some of the other things that we were discussing with Richard Florida are predicted to shrink. We did a program for people who might want to consider a career, including mid-career switch into nursing. We'll do the same now for teaching jobs. Remember, Help Wanted is our radio series focusing on the job market, as well as a Facebook community for any of you who are looking for work and anyone who wants to offer them advice. Listeners, you can post your experiences or advice or start your own new discussion thread about the job market. Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show to get there. The Help Wanted Facebook community is always on. And one of the folks on our Help Wanted page, Mary Pagonis, started a discussion thread recently about teaching career. She told us, quote, "I'd love to hear about alternative entry routes to teacher certification and if this is still a feasible option given recent budget cuts. Are there any high demand sectors of the teaching profession? I heard that math, science, and special ed still were suffering shortages, although I'd be most interested in elementary level teaching," she wrote. So let's talk about starting out as a teacher, switching careers into teaching, and whether there are new pathways that really are competing with the traditional education schools. We'll answer all of Mary's questions and more. With me first on this, Mary Ann Tramelli, Director of Career Services at Columbia University's Teachers College. Mary Ann Tramelli, welcome to WNYC. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Brian, and I appreciate the time.
And Teachers College, for people who don't know, is one of the biggest teaching programs in the country, and you offer dozens of different kinds of degrees and specialties. It would take too long to go through all of them. Is there a typical master's program? Well, first of all, do you agree with Mary that there are particular high demand sectors of the teaching profession right now, and are they still math, science, and special ed?
At this point, Brian, that is what we're seeing is probably the biggest needs areas. We do have a number of public, private, and charter schools that work with us, and there's certainly other opportunities, be it the arts, music, elementary education. So definitely there are other opportunities, but the key areas, particularly with the, we work very closely with the New York City Department of Education, the key areas for them right now fall within the math, science, and special education areas.
And listeners, our lines are open for any questions you have about becoming a teacher. If you're just starting out, maybe you're in college right now, or as a mid-career switch, and different kinds of education careers, different kinds of pathways to those education careers. 212-433-WNYC. Our lines are wide open. 212-433-9692. Or you can post your questions to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. On the Teachers College Career Services website, we noticed that you have the results of your survey from last year's graduates. And your data show that 28% of those who graduated with an MA or MS in education are still looking for a job. Is that unusually high?
What we have found in the last, I would probably say since the what happened in September of 2008, is that the opportunities have shifted a bit. We have seen a little bit of a decline on the public school side. One of our major career fairs, which we always fill wall to wall, we have normally in the past had a significant waiting list. Some of those schools have chosen not to come on. However, as an opportunity arises, they will facilitate a relationship with us through our job posting system. So they'll come through that way, but they may not be hiring a number of positions. It may be key areas they're looking for, and a lot of it has really depended in the last 2 years on what their budgets look like. When the whole economic downturn occurred, obviously the schools were already in session. Their budgets were fixed for that year, for 08, 09. We've seen a little bit more of an impact from that point going forward. However, Brian, there's been a shift as well. What is really has been significant to note is that the shift is in the growth of charter school opportunities. We have a fair just for charter schools, and a number of our opportunities, even at career fairs and on our job postings, have been within charter schools, such as Uncommon Schools, and you may have heard of some of these achievements first.
So who would be right for those jobs? We hear so much about charter schools in the usual public debate about not having the usual, you know, union protections for the teachers. So are there people who tend to do well as teachers in charter schools and those who tend to not be happy?
It's been interesting because we have a number of alumni who are out there teaching in charter schools, extremely happy and doing quite well, and others, their experience has been different. It's not the right fit for them. And one of the things that we encourage before, whether you're looking at charters, publics, privates, independents, is you really need to do your homework. You can't just go out there and assume I'm going to be happy in a charter school experience. We bring a number of schools on board here through information sessions, and as I said, the career fairs and even on-campus interview dates so that students can engage with them, have conversations, and then we also encourage our students.
But is there a profile? Is there something about the charter school teaching experience that you can say qualitatively really makes it different from regular public schools or that makes somebody more or less suited to that?
You may, depending upon, you know, from my experience in working with our alums and all, it really depends on if someone, particularly when the charter schools were initially opening up and new schools are opening up, flexibility is going to be important. And sometimes because the structure is still being developed, and that's part of the charter schools, it's that they're still going to be developing maybe curriculum and different programs, that there's a need to kind of be willing to be thrown into situations mm-hmm. where you're going to be doing a lot of contribution, but you're also going to be learning things. And it might be for some folks, you know, they like the adventure. For others, they may prefer to go into a classroom where things are quite structured. They kind of know what the school books are going to be, the mm-hmm. lesson plans are going to be, right. And that's okay. It's an individual decision.
Right. Candy in Williamsburg, you're on WNYC. Hi Candy.
Thanks for putting me on, Brian. I've been listening to your program, which is part of the reason I decided what I decided recently.
Uh-oh, don't blame me.
I enrolled at TC. I applied to go full-time for teaching of English.
Teachers College, TC.
Yes, that's right. And I recently, just right before time to register, decided to go part-time so I can take it more slowly. And hope that there will be jobs on the other side.
And what's your question?
My question is, will there be jobs on the other side?
Thanks. Candy, there definitely will be. I think one of the key things, and you know, we work very hard here to keep as many options open as possible, is it's going to be a time, I think, for the next couple of years, and I'm not a mind reader, and you know, certainly the economic situation can change, you know, overnight, as we have seen. It's very important to really look at all the options that are out there, from public to private to charter. Also, geography is going to be something to look at. I mean, most of the states are experiencing challenges because of, you know, federal aid, state aid, you know it, and folks
right.
being out of work and, you know, certainly school budgets not always being approved. But the thing is, we are seeing opportunities in all the different fields. But again, it's a matter of kind of exploring, talking with the different types of schools, and again, possibly considering, am I based where I am? Is my geography only X amount of miles? Or can I consider, if there's a great opportunity in Texas, I'm just throwing out an example, would I consider it, and go down and check it out and see if that is a good fit for you? But even with the charters, with our charter fair in March, there were definitely charter schools looking for teachers of English. There were even some public schools that have come through the job posting system, as well as at our K-12 mm-hmm. career fair, who definitely were looking for English teachers.
Candy, let me ask you before you go, how did you decide on what kind of education to get trained for? Because I imagine that's daunting to a lot of listeners considering it, especially in a situation like yours, laid off from another career. How did you decide, you know, K-12, English versus something else? I mean, kindergarten or high school or what kind of thing? How did you make that decision for yourself?
I didn't ever consider anything else. It was my, you know, love of reading and writing and working with children. That came first, my love of literature. Thinking of, you know, being in the classroom, that's almost secondary to just wanting to be in the field I really do love.
So high school English?
Yeah.
Candy, thank you. Good luck out there. And that's such an interesting question, too, Marianne, and that is, do you go for the age group that you love? Do you go through for the subject matter that you love? How do people make that wisest decision?
That really, Brian, again, when we're dealing with our students, and a lot of times it's one-on-one and individual, it's really looking at where they themselves feel most comfortable. And kind of drawing from their experiences, some folks have worked with children or adults in other venues, and there's pluses and minuses to why they want to continue working with that age group. Subject matter, I truly believe you need to be. I've been in this field a long time. I've worked with a lot of teachers. You have to be passionate about it. If you're going to relate to whether it's high schoolers or kindergarten kids, you've got to have a passion for what you're teaching, because they're going to see right through it if you're just there teaching it for the sake of teaching it. Teachers who have a passion for the subject matter bring a lot of dynamic examples and experiences to the work. They don't just teach it. They really bring it into the real world and show folks where it fits in, show these students how they can apply it in the real world. And that, to me, is very critical. When I was growing up and, going to school, which only just a few years ago, we were just taught the subject matter. It didn't really always connect to the real world out there. It's essential today that teachers really take the subject matter and have students really recognize what it means in the real world and at their level. What does it mean for a first grader? What does it mean for a ninth grader?
And when we come back for a break, we'll explore that question of how you get trained for that. Going for an education degree, such as at Teachers College, is one method. Now there's a lot of discussion in the country about alternative pathways. We have somebody on our Facebook Help Wanted group who has a post about that, and then we'll add another guest to talk about alternative pathways like Teach for America and some of the other alternative certification programs. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, as we talk about teaching careers with Marianne Tramelli, Director of Career Services at Columbia University's Teachers College. And we're going to add another guest now, because another member of our Help Wanted forum online, Brian Colton, wrote, "As someone who has long considered a career switch to education, I would like to state the state to make it easier for professionals to have a doorway into this career path while still working full time. How many people are scared off," he asks, "by the high back-to-school costs and the time that would have to be spent back in college?" So also joining us now is Dr. Fran Levin, director of the New Pathways to Teaching in New Jersey program, which looks at exactly that, alternative ways of becoming a teacher to the traditional education degrees. Dr. Levin, thanks so much for joining us on WNYC.
Good morning, Brian. Thanks for having me.
And are there alternative programs or pipelines to get adults into the teaching profession? To answer Brian's concerns, Teach for America is one that's well known. I'm not sure if that's mostly for younger people. What's the lay of the land in general in alternative pathways?
Well, I do think we offer a number of very easy ways of becoming a teacher, provided individuals have a bachelor's degree in an area where they have enough credits so that they can be qualified to teach. In our program, they take an introduction to teaching course first, a 24-hour course, and then they take what we call stage one, which is 60 hours, 15 of which are guided observations in an actual school, and then they actually begin to teach in what we have in our stage two and get paid for it. So, and they have a 200-hour program. But we make it easy because they can take their first two stages without having to quit their job. So they can be working full-time and still pursue their passion.
So here is a question along these lines from Chris in South Salem. Chris, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Excuse me. I am a woman in my early 50s. I'm currently unemployed. I'm wondering if I decided to go into teaching, to go back to teaching, my college degree, my BS degree, is more than 20 years old, and I do not have teaching credentials. My question is there a source of funding someplace for me to be able to go back and update my degree as well as get my teaching credentials?
Fran Levin, you want to take that one first?
Well, there are lots of places to get financial aid. I'm not really a financial aid person, but I certainly could direct you to someone at the university who could help. Our program is not really funded through a Teach for America grant, and our students do pay tuition. So it's a little different.
All right. Well, Marianne Tramelli, how about for you on that? And is it realistic in general, because we have a few people asking this question, for people of Chris's age and some of our other callers who are in their 50s to go back for teaching at this point?
I would love to address that if I could.
Oh, Mary, all right. Mary, go ahead.
Oh,
I'm sorry, who wanted that?
Fran, go ahead. Because we have a number of people, we've prepared thousands of teachers in the last 6 years, and we have a number of people who are in their 50s from all different walks of life. We have lots of people from the financial sector. We have lawyers. We have pharmacists. We have just about every profession you can think of.
So, Marianne Tramelli, is there a competition between your institution, Columbia University Teachers College, as providing, you know, an education degree in the sense that we usually think of it, and some of these new pathways like Teach for America? You were talking about the importance of learning to teach, not just learning to your subject matter. Are these good enough in your opinion?
You know, I think it really depends on the individual. There are going to be some individuals who benefit because obviously programs like Teach for America, which pull undergrads into that program, have worked and have been effective. And there's partnerships with graduate schools for them then to go on, as well as partnerships with employers. However, some folks would benefit from either a more traditional background. And again, here at Teachers College, couple things. One is what's very unique is that our faculty are not just in the class, they're not just teaching our students. They're out there working with the schools and seeing what needs to be done and bringing that to the classroom. So for some of our folks who are coming back, and we do have individuals in their 50s who are making those career transitions, they benefit from the fact they're not only getting that student teaching experience, but they're also getting the kind of coursework and real information that they need to really be more prepared to meet the students in the classroom. The other thing is we now have a new teaching residence at Teachers College program, which is a 14-month program. The first cohort will be starting this June, and their focus really is for career changers, mid-career life career changers, Peace Corps volunteers, and definitely what it provides is scholarship. It provides a stipend and health insurance. The other side of it is, and they're not just in the classroom on their own. They're working with a very experienced teacher.
All right, let's take another call. Gordon in Freeport, you're on WNYC. Hi, Gordon.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good. What's up?
To me, this, if you don't mind, this discussion is academic. There are no jobs out there. There are no jobs. I graduated last year with a history degree and a secondary degree from Queens College. They're talking about laying off 8,500 teachers. No one is getting hired. Anybody I know in the system with under 5 years, even with tenure, is terrified of being excess.
So this is a great question and an important question. And I think the tension is between the short term and the long term. So, Marianne Tramelli, I mean, I think everybody agrees that in the medium to long term, teaching is going to be a growth field in terms of available jobs because baby boomers are going to retire in huge numbers. It's already starting to happen. The population is growing, and the demand for education is universal. So tell me if you disagree. But because of the current downturn, we do have the situation that Gordon is talking about in many, many, many places. So when does the near term become the medium term?
Well, I think we have a bit of a wait for that yet to come. We're all trying to keep all options open. And, Brian, I don't know if you're specifically looking at the New York City system or have you looked broader, and that's a question, because while opportunities don't always exist in one area, they have arisen in other areas. And I'm not going to say it's suddenly they're looking for 100 history teachers. That's not realistic. But beyond the New York City system, there have been opportunities in other public school systems. And we've even had schools from across the country looking for, you know, folks to hire for various positions, including history. So, again, I'm not saying there's enormous growth, but definitely there's opportunity. There is some opportunity.
But know where the opportunities are, what corners of the field. Fran, do you want to add to that?
I would, yeah, I'd like to. We are very concerned about what Gordon is talking about. But, you know, we don't know how many teachers will be retiring. I know in New Jersey, you know, we have a big budget crisis also that teachers are facing, and so no one knows who will be laid off, but we're also hearing some information about retirement packages that are attractive for teachers who have been there for baby boomers, and we're hoping that many of them will take it, those packages, and retire so that other people can get jobs. History is a particularly difficult field, and I think, as Marianne said, math and science and special ed and secondary is a much better fit right now. But in the long term, I think the thing is, if someone is really interested in teaching, I don't think this conversation is really academic, because I think if you do have an enthusiasm for teaching, a passion for teaching, this is what you should do. And if it doesn't work right away, you know, you find alternate ways of working until you can do what you really want to do.
An academic discussion about education. That may be redundant. I'm not sure. On our Facebook page, we've been asking people for simple advice for others looking to become teachers, particularly in the middle of their career. And here's an exchange that broke out. Rita, be absolutely sure it's what you want to do. Josh, it's tough. Forget about stand and deliver and prepare for a long, hard struggle. Marie, good teachers move around the room. It's not a sit-down job, so get comfortable shoes. Fran, for people looking for this as an escape route for economic purposes, what do they need to ask themselves in terms of whether they're really going to be happy at teaching?
Well,
we have 30 seconds left.
Yes, they really need to ask themselves if this is really what they want to do. I have so many people who email me and call me and tell me they've been laid off and they think teaching might be an easy job, summer's off, 9 to 3, I laugh because they just have no clue that it's a difficult profession. There's a lot of time you put in. No one I know is free in the summer. Right. Everybody works.
And we have to leave it there, and I want to thank Fran Levin, Director of New Pathways to Teaching in New Jersey, and Marianne Tramelli, Director of Career Services at Columbia University's Teachers College. Thank you both very, very much.
You're welcome, Brian.
Thank you.
And listeners, again, this is ongoing as part of our Help Wanted Facebook community for people looking for work. So keep this conversation going. Keep these threads going among yourselves. So many callers we couldn't get to. You can transfer over to our Help Wanted Facebook community. Go to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Talk to you tomorrow.